Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going to read some here. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll start reading at verse number 8. Familiar scripture, but something God's laid on my heart, and I pray that we'll be able to share some thoughts with you today. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, I'd ask you to stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, with whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us here in a special way with the subject matter that we'll be dealing with. I promise you that the devil will try to oppose. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. Thank you for this Sunday day, and Lord, that you have let us come to the house and hear the singing, praying, and be able to give, be able to share in the services. And Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you have done up to this point. But now we come time for preaching, and I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will illuminate our minds, loose our tongues. I pray for that divine anointing power of God be upon us to preach, and we'll thank you for what you do. You know who's here. You know exactly every individual that's in the house. You know what they need. You know where we all are. And so I pray in Jesus' name, meet every need, touch every heart. And I pray especially for those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you touch them and convict them and draw them unto yourself. I pray for every saved person that's discouraged, that you'd help all that's been under attack to the devil. I pray you'd help us all do what we need to do. Encourage, strengthen, and challenge. But most of all, we ask you to save today. We'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm thinking today as we approach the subject that we want to deal with, that there are those who today can be set free, or those who will leave in bondage unto the devil. And so we're talking today about our great adversary. We read in the scripture in our text about our adversary, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is our great adversary. And we have one, and you can rest assured that we have one, and he is the devil, Satan, Lucifer. Call him what you will, and he's a deceiver of men and women, boys and girls, and he works to destroy lives, and we'll get to all of that. But our adversary. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, 25, we won't look there, but also in Luke chapter 12, verse number 58, this word adversary is used in different places. It's used in a legal sense. It's talked about in the fact of that if you turn over the adversary, it brings you before the judge, and then under the prison. And so it's in a legal sense that it's used. Other places it's not used in a legal sense, but in the sense that it is to withstand, contrary to, opposite of, opposition to. And so our adversary can be looking at it in legal or non-legal. But some Bible theologians look at this here in 1 Peter 5, and they say that it's legal. Others say it's not legal. But I'll be honest with you exactly what I think about it. I think both is applicable here. I believe our adversary, we can look at it in the legal sense, and we can also look at it in the sense that he is simply opposition to everything that we're trying to do for God. And he is opposition to everything that is trying to be done for God in this world today. Now, in the legal sense, let me say this. I've got good news about that. The devil is our adversary. He is the one that accuses us. He is the one that goes before God. You remember in the book of Job, he went before accusing and trying. He does that. And in the legal sense, every time I go to God in prayer, he tells the Lord that I'm not fit, I'm unworthy, I'm sinful, I'm dirty, I'm unclean. But in that legal sense of being, at the cross of Calvary, Jesus took my place. And Jesus pled my case. He is my lawyer, my advocate. He is the one that pleads for me. And the devil pleads he's guilty. And Jesus walks out and says he's not guilty. That's already been paid for. It's already past tense. It's already happened. And so you can't. If a man is tried for a crime, found guilty, and then sentenced and pays the price, he can never be tried for that crime again. It's already taken care of. And so my crime, I pled guilty one day, and Jesus said, I'll pay the price. And so he did. And so therefore, in the legal sense of it, it's taken care of. And I've been declared not guilty. Therefore, there is no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so I'm not guilty anymore, brother. Aren't you glad, praise God, that Jesus set us free? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so the legal part taken care of. But that adversary, that hindrance, that one that stands in the way, that one that wants to bother us, that one that is always trouble to us, he's still there, and we still have to deal with that. But I just want you to know today, if you're unsaved, you're lost without God, and on the road to hell, I want you to know you are guilty, and you ought to go. But I've got good news for you. Jesus came and died in your place. He paid your price, and now you can be set free. I know the question comes up sometimes over in Hebrews 2:9, talks about, but we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, if he tasted death for every man, then the question comes up, well, why isn't every man saved? He's already paid the price. Price has been paid and taken care of. Let me illustrate it like this. If you got a disease and you're dying of it, it's going to kill you. And you go to the doctor and the doctor says, now, I've got a medicine here that will take care of that problem. And all you have to do is take this medicine and you'll be better. And that problem you have will not kill you. And you'll be well and going your way. You take the medicine home and you set it beside your bed or in the medicine cabinet. And now the remedy has been given. The one that knows how to cure and the one that is able to tell you what to take has already done that. He's already given you the medicine. It's already available to you. All you have to do is believe what he's told you, act upon that faith, open the bottle, and take the pill. And you be better. Now let me ask you a question. Is it the doctor's fault you die if you won't take the pill? Is it somebody else's fault you die if you don't take the pill? Can you say there's hypocrites around in your house is why you don't take the pill? Or can you say people done me wrong somewhere? Is that why you don't take the pill? But oh no, you know it's the one the doctor said would do. And if you really believe God, you believe the doctor, you would take the pill and be better. I say to you today, thank God there's something better than a pill. A salvation purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and makes it possible for you to be saved if you'll only come and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just believe, act on what you know that's true, what God said. And God said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I believe what God said. And one day I acted on that.
You see, it's like that song she sang about Hosea. Hosea's wife, Gomer, was guilty, and she played the harlot. She'd been out there, and she ought to have been kicked aside. Surely she should have, as far as man's concerned, but Hosea went down when men got through abusing her and had no more use for her. They put her on a slave market to sell her. That's what the devil does. And then when they did that, Hosea went down as she came up to be sold. I don't know what she thought. I don't know what she said. But Hosea looked at her with eyes of love. And the bidding started, and he said, I'll bid for her. I'll pay her price. And he paid her price. Hallelujah. And got her off that block she was on being sold. Can you imagine how she felt? Wondered what's going to happen. And he put her, said he clothed her and said, now I'm going to take you home and you'll be for me and I'll be for you. I say, hallelujah. That's exactly what God did for me one day. He bought me, purchased me, and said, I'm going to take you home with me. And now I'm his and he's mine. And thank God I'm saved. And if you're not saved, I've got good news. You can be saved. And the best news ever been told, ever been said, ever been preached, ever been taught, is that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. If you'll come, he'll save you. And you'll be born in the family of God. I know I'm talking about the devil today, but I can't talk about him without telling you there's one greater than he. And his name is Jesus, and he's the answer for your problem. Now, in dealing with this, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober. Now, he's not talking about not drinking alcoholic beverage. You ought not to do that, that's for sure, but that's not the sense he's using that word sober there. He's talking about being right-minded, thinking right. And be sure you consider it in the right way, consideration. And then be vigilant, be active. You can rest assured the devil is active. You remember in Job, he walked up and down the earth, and he's going to and fro, he said. And so he's active. And one thing good you can say about the devil is he's always busy. He's always at work. He stays on the job. He doesn't quit. And so the devil, our adversary, we're talking about. And today, as we think about that, he said, for us to be sober and be vigilant, and because the devil is there, we need to be so. So think right. Think with me today as I try to share two or three things with you. And then let's be vigilant. Let's be active about in what we need to do. First of all, I want to talk about the devil. He is a real person. He is not a figment of the imagination. He is not simply an influence to do evil. He is a real person. And I can rest assured today that he does not like what I'm preaching. I always, anytime I'm going to preach about the devil or and get in his territory, I realize I'm moving in an area that will be opposition and will be opposed by evil spirits and powers that be, because the devil doesn't like to be exposed. He doesn't like to be told what he really is. And so I'm telling you, he's a real person. And he is that. Jesus said, I saw him as lightning fall from heaven. And so as a real person, he said that in Luke 10:18. And in 2 Corinthians 11:14, he's talking about the devil. We've been talking about false prophets and those that said they were of God and what were not. And they tried to be somebody that wasn't. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What he's saying is Satan is a person. And by the way, he was a created being. And when he created a beautiful and created in a marvelous way being that he was until he sinned against God. Until iniquity was found in his heart. And he said, I will be like the Most High God. That's what sin is. It's rebellion against God, and I'm going to be what I want to be regardless of what God says about him. That's sin, rebelling against God, and he sinned. And the devil was created as a cherubim that covereth, and surely he was a beautiful creature. And your pictures, you see him today with a forked tail and a pitchfork and red horns and all that. That's not what the devil looks like. devil comes in beautiful pictures and beautiful types and people and everything else. Devil will sneak up on your blind side and you won't recognize him coming because you're looking for something ugly and something dirty, and he'll try to clean up and slip in and be deceiving unto you and mess you up. He's a real person, amen. And he's, and I'll get to more about him later, but I want you to know he's real. And today, he doesn't even like to be told that, because he doesn't like for me to tell you he's real, because he'd like for you to go about your life thinking, well, the devil is just something you laugh about. You know, just something like Santa Claus, just something you push aside and kind of have fun with, and people act like a devil's like that. We got a real enemy that we face, a real adversary, and he's active, and we need to recognize the fact that he is somebody, amen. And somebody, well, I'm starting to get ahead of myself a little bit here, but he's a real person, number two. I want you to know the devil is powerful. He's not some little weak somebody that you just knock around. That's what I started to say. Some people think and talk about the devil like, well, I'll kick a devil into hell, or I'll tell the devil this and I'll tell the devil that. You best be careful how you think what you'll do with the devil, because you can't handle the devil. I read over in Jude chapter verse 9, not the one chapter, but in verse 9 in the book of Jude, the Bible says Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil about the body of Moses, does not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Michael, the archangel, said, I can't handle him. I need some help. And he cried and said, in the name of the Lord rebuke thee. Hey, Michael didn't stand there, the archangel, and say, I'm going to tell you, devil, get away from me. I'm going to tell you, devil, leave me alone. I'm going to tell you, devil, you can't do this or that. That wasn't what he's saying. Now, the devil wanted the body of Moses. If he could have got it, he'd had Israel worshiping that body. He'd have messed things up, sure enough. But God had Michael the archangel there to bury the body of Moses. And nobody knows where it is. Ever got a bone of Moses, it'd be an idol of worship for it to turn around. And so God wanted him buried and done away with bodily, so a man wouldn't know. Michael the archangel just spelled to go down to take care of that. But the devil came along and he said, no, you can't have that. And then Michael stood there, and I can picture this in my mind's eye of what the Bible says. He didn't bring a railing accusation. He didn't say, now, devil, God sent me down here to do this. He didn't say, now, devil, I've got charge of this. Devil, I'm going to bury this body. No, he said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's the only way you can handle it. I'm telling you, the only way you can handle the devil is the Lord handle him for you. I am glad, thank God, I have one that can handle him. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. I'm glad, thank God, the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside has more power than the devil has. And that'd make you want to shout and realize the fact I can't handle the devil. I'm no match for him, but I know my big brother, amen, and my advocate, he can handle him. Jesus can handle him, and Jesus knows how to handle him, and Jesus defeated him at Calvary, thank God. And when he rose from the dead, I believe the devil did everything he could to hold him in the grave, but Jesus got up and walked out victorious. And I say today, thank God we got victory in Jesus. Amen. Victory in Jesus. Aren't you glad? I love that song, Victory in Jesus, because that's the only victory we have. And so we have the victory. It's powerful. I want you to turn with me, please, in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter number 7. Here's what it says. Look in verse number 10, Exodus 7. I'm talking about the devil having power. And today, not only today, but in days gone by, but as we near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we're going to see more and more of this. The devil has power and he's using it to deceive people. People see something they think is miraculous and say it has to be of God. That's not necessarily so. I want to prove it by the word of God. Look in verse 10 of chapter 7, Exodus. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. They did the same thing. Their rod became a serpent. Of course, Aaron's rod swallowed their rod up, but they did the same miracle that they'd done. Look in verse number 17. Thus saith the Lord, and in this shalt thou know that I am the Lord. Behold, I'll smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fishes in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe the drink of the water of the river. Then in verse number 20, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. He lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, sign of Pharaoh and the sign of his servants. And all the waters in the river were turned to blood. Look at verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. They did the same thing. Look in chapter 8 and verse number 5. And I'll just, for sake of time, look at the very last part of that verse. And caused frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. Verse number 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now here you've had three miracles done, and the magicians and the sorcerers and those of the devil did the same thing. And so everything you see with your eyes and everything you hear with your ear, I don't mean it's of God. If it doesn't line up with the Bible and what God says, you can chuck it. Amen. I believe the Bible is our authority. Amen. And it better line up with the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I believe this and I believe that. This happened, that happened. If it doesn't line up with what God said, then it doesn't make any difference what we saw or heard or did, or somebody else saw or heard or did. It's what God says that really settles the matter. Verse 17 of chapter 8. Here in the latter part of that verse, lice. They brought up lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Notice verse 18. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring up lice, bring forth lice, but they could not. Hallelujah. They could not. Then verse 19. The magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. You just remember this. Devil has some power, and Brother Tommy Steele says many times when he preaches, devil has some power, but God has all power. And devil began, he did some of the same things, but then it reached a point God said, that's enough. He just won't let you do anymore. And he couldn't do it anymore. And God just proving who he was and saying who he was. Devil has power, but it doesn't have all power. I say to you today, there's power working in our world. There's an evil power working in our world. There's a deceiving power working in our world. And we're in a mess in our world. But you better know what thus saith God, what's in the Bible, and what God said, and settle it with the Word of God, and be sure you know that it's the Word of God. Amen. And then let's go on for God. The day there's all kinds of religions out here. There's all kinds of things happening out here. There's all kinds of people doing things out here in our world, deceiving people. Young folk, you be sure you stick with the Word of God. Be sure you stick. And moms and dad, be sure you stick with the Word of God. Everything that looks like gold and glitters isn't gold, the old saying says. And so, let's be sure we know. Now, I want to get to this third thing. I'm going to try to bring it to a close in a few minutes, but just hang with me. I know this is not the most popular message anybody ever preached, but I think we need it. Because the devil is real and he's at work. He's powerful. He is certainly that. He is a person. He's after you. He knows you. He knows about you. I hope at least you give the devil enough trouble he knows about you. If you're unsaved, he knows about you because he's got you and don't want to let you go. I said the devil is a real person, and he is. And he's powerful, and he is. But I want you to know the devil is evil. Look in John 8:44. John 8:44. Listen to this. Ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. Now I'm going to stop there just for a minute because I want to make a point. Everybody in this house would say that's not saved, well, devil's not my father. Everybody in this house, the devil is either your father or God your father. There are no in-betweens. You cannot have both. Either God is your father or the devil is your father. I remember Jesus looking at that crowd one day and they said, Abraham's our father. We never were in bondage. And the crowd was in bondage Rome right at that moment. And they trying to say, well, we were Abraham and that's our father. And he's trying to tell them, he said, he looked straight at them and said, ye are of your father, the devil. And so if you're lost today, if you're unsaved, I want you to know you are of your father, the devil. You may not realize that. You may not want to be that. You may not desire that, but that's what you are. But there's good news. You don't have to stay in that family. Amen. I'm glad you can change families. Amen. And get out of that family and get in the family of God. And everybody's ever been saved, born in the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, into the family of God, God is your Father. Amen. We can bow our heads and pray and say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, unsaved can say that, but it's not true because God's not their Father. But I can say that because God is my Father. Now, notice he said, you are your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Now notice that. There is no truth in the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's a liar and the father of it. He said everything the devil does is a lie. He lies all the time. He can't do anything but lie. He's a father of lies. He's evil. He's dirty. He's a liar. Now he cleans up. He tries to paint pretty pictures and does all of that. But the devil is a liar. Have you ever seen, and I've mentioned this many, many times, but what an illustration it is. Have you ever seen an advertisement of beer or liquor with a car wrapped around a tree and blood running down the road? You've never seen that. Have you ever seen an advertisement about beer and liquor and seen some ugly woman and some ugly man that looked like sin themselves and looked like a miserable and sitting around grumping? And have you ever seen an advertisement like that? Why, no. You know why? Because the devil would be telling the truth if he did that. And there's no truth in him. He's a liar. And so he lies to you. He's evil. He's out to wreck and to ruin. Be vigilant. Be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It is the devil's business to devour you. He wants to wreck your life. Hey, every saved person, hear me well. He wants to take your testimony and mess it up. He wants to get you all messed up and wreck your testimony and make a life and stock out of you and put you on a shelf somewhere. And he wants to get you out of the way. And every unsaved person here, he wants to keep you where you are and take you to hell and keep you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, thank God, Jesus Christ wants to help you. He wants you to keep your testimony. He wants you to live for God. He wants you to stand out and let your light shine. He wants you to live like that. And unsaved, oh, Jesus wants to hug you up close and let you know he loves you and that he'll save you. You say, but I'm so dirty. I'm so filthy. Don't you know Jose on that auction block? Don't you know that's how she failed? In that day when they sold slaves, they stripped them of all their clothes so they could see if they had any muscle or anything about them anybody would desire. And they put her on that block, a miserable, broken woman. Nobody cared for her, but Hosea loved her and said, I'll bid for her. I'll take her. I'll hug her up, and I'll love her, and I'll take her home. Listen, That's exactly what Jesus does for sinners. Brother Taylor, aren't you glad? He comes to bartenders and hugs them up and says, I love you and I'll take you home. I'll get you out of that mess that you're in. I'll give you something better than that. Brother Bob, God does that for sinners. God saves sinners. And today you say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know where I am. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how bad I am. It doesn't make any difference how bad you are. I know somebody loves you, regardless of how you are. He loves you and he wants to help you if you'll just come. The devil today, and I'm going to stop you. I got three more things I want to say, but we'll try to say them later. But listen, the devil has power. The devil has that power. And the devil is evil. And the devil is at work. And he's that person in this house right now. The devil's faithful in church. He always comes. And he does not want you to let God help you. He wants to hold you in his clutches. He wants to be sure he takes you, keeps you where you are, lost. Or if you're saved and your life is out of the will of God and you know it, he wants to keep you right where you are. He does not want you to let God help you. But today, as we give the invitation, why don't you let God help you? Won't you let Jesus deliver you and set you free? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege today to open the Word of God. And Father, how true it is about our adversary. You have told us in the Word about him. You have warned us concerning him. And Father, he today will lie to folk. And he'll tell them they'll have another time. And he'll lie and tell them that there'll be a better day than today to get saved. Or a better day to get right. A better day to let you have your way. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit, God, do that work in the hearts. May they realize the truth. May real conviction grip them. May they see and realize they need Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. Father, right now, somebody here that's lost needs to get saved. Somebody in this house that's saved and their life is all confused and messed up. Lord, they need some help. And I pray today, Lord, you'd help those. Some today just have a burden for folk that's lost. Folk that need help. They realize they need the help. I pray today in this invitation we'd all do what we wish we'd have done when we stand someday in judgment. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.